Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 282, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist. This is still a production of iHeartRadio. This is still the production, or the podcast, actually, where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And we got a doozy for you. Let me tell you, just up top, I'm going to be as transparent as possible. This one is a fucking doozy. But first, let me tell you what day it is. It's April 7th. It's Friday, okay? Celebrate. Hey, and for those that, observe the holidays, it's Good Friday. So I know when I was a kid, that would be like, yeah, we got the day off, baby. Also, National No Housework Day, whatever that is, National Coffee Cake Day, National Girl Me Too Day. I was like, wait, what is this about? Is this about Me Too? But no, it's just about commiserate. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just knowing the strength in it. It's recognizing the strength and endurance. Okay, you know what? Girl, Me Too. I get it. Anyway. Not only is this the day that Pontius Pilate, you know, sent Jesus up on that cross, but this is also a fantastic day where I'm going to introduce myself, Mr. Miles Gray, a.k.a. Big Daddy Grain, the father of the Geist Child, the Lord of Lancashire. No one can do it better than the NoHo legend himself. That's me, okay, if I may be so humble on this blessed day. And I am thrilled to be joined by my co-host today. What more can I say? I'm just gonna bring him in. Please welcome Mr. Jacques Keystill!
Guys. When you're feeling your body, you found somebody who makes you turn the pod like hanging with your crew. Said you act like you're ready, but you ain't ready for Miles and Jackie's. Oh, I wanna let it go. Woo. I've been there, done it. Zeitgeist around. After all that, this is what we found. Nobody likes to be real bored. If you're touched by the words of this pod, then baby, you got it. What up, niggas?
Oh, my God.
We back.
God.
We in here.
Yeah.
We are here. We got an episode. It is brown today, baby.
I love when I'm just looking at the trio on mic. I go, yeah.
Love it.
We're going to get into some shit tonight or today or whatever.
Is it Black History Month? And also Japanese Heritage Month, right?
Yeah, I don't know when that is. Month? Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Supporting them all. Well, no, the AAPI Heritage Month is, I believe, I should know this.
I believe it's next month.
It's May.
It's May.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, we're in there. We're almost there.
We in here. We in the middle. We right in the middle.
I know, right in between. But hey, here we are, joined by someone our guest today is a force to be reckoned with. Not only is this person a motherfucking doctor. I'm just always going to shout out the doctor part because I don't know that many doctors.
It's impressive.
And yeah. Not only is this fantastic person, not only are they a media critic, they're out here educating, They're also a fantastic writer on their grind right now in Hollyweird, trying to get it done, which, again, I believe this is going to happen. And if you know this person, you know they are going to make it happen. But without further ado, please allow me to welcome to the microphone Dr. John Paul Higgins!
Hello, niggas! Oh, I was also very happy when I saw all the melanated folks on the screen. What a day. What a day.
Yes.
What a mighty good day.
Yes. Also the host, obviously, of Black Fat Femme as well.
Yes, our sister show.
Yes, yes.
How are you, Dr. John?
You know, I'm doing quite well. You know, it's been a, I'll say, it's already April and I'm looking up and I'm going, March was like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I don't even remember anything.
And there's 31 days in March, too. That's like a
It literally
that's like a
zipped by. So I'm like, God, it's already April 7th. But I'm feeling good. You know, we've been doing really good over here in the Black Fat Femme world, as well as in my own life and world. Things have been all right. So everything's good.
Beautiful thing.
Okay.
It's a beautiful thing.
What's it like? You know, I know you. What kind of pitches you got going right now?
What kind of pitches? Yeah, you know, so I said this last time I was on the show, and I'm going to say it again. Hire me.
Yeah.
You know, I there have been some really cool things that have been moving. I have something that's actually getting ready to come up that I can announce right now. You know, NDAs is something else. When you live in a world
love
full of
NDAs.
Yeah. You know, they tell you, this great thing happened, but you got to shut your mouth about it. And you're like, no.
Forever.
Sit on it forever.
Let me ask you something, Dr. John. Can I call you Dr. John?
You sure can.
Dope.
DJP.
Let's be real. When we have NDAs, because, you know, we all familiar with NDAs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On average, how many people you break that NDA for?
I break the NDA for the people that's in my immediate circle. Obviously, my husband's going to know about it.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's real hard to do anything without my husband being like, what's happening? So, usually
like,
him,
where you been going for a week?
Right. Like, what are you doing? Who are
I
you doing
an
with?
NDA.
Right.
Oh, okay,
you
got to
break the NDA for your family. Usually my mama will know. My mom will
course.
Usually be the second or third person I call outside of my manager. But, you know, when it start coming down to friends, I have friends who are like, ooh, girl, what are you up to? I'm like, I'm not telling you nothing because you can't even keep a secret. So, no.
And let's be clear. This is hypothetical. You haven't broken. You haven't even told your husband.
No.
You haven't even told your husband. For anybody who listening, this is a hypothetical.
This was actually an improv comedy scene we just did.
That's one word suggestion was
NDA. That's all
overall, that's been a part of the world. And then, you know, I've won some awards for a script recently. I actually placed finalists with Series Fest. You know, I've gotten awards with Crown and Scene Play and also the Santa Barbara. There are a few other ones that I'm waiting to come through to see if I won or not. But it's really cool just to see people actually paying attention to the shit you know, that I have to say and I write. So it's really cool.
Part of me was like, man, I made a mistake asking them what was going on. I'm like, what the fuck I got going on?
No, you're hey, man, over you here got... hosting this badass show.
No, I'm good.
You
I'm
hosting
good.
Shit.
We got a baby.
We're not starting this episode off too. I go like, man, I'm down on myself, and then the two.
No,
guys,
like, you got a beautiful baby.
Hey, listen, you know how the melanated folks do. When we be like, man, shit, I'm just trying to be like you.
Of course,
I'm trying to be like you.
That's all we say.
Trying to be like you, bro.
That's all we say. We're all trying to be like each other. And what better three people to try and be like than us right now? Well, look, Dr. John Paul Higgins, we are going to get to know you even better in a moment. But first, we need to tell the people what they can look forward to in this episode. First, we got to talk about, it feels like there's a disconnect. The general public don't really give a shit about Trump right now. Mm. There's a lot of real pressing shit going on, but the media, they just cannot kick their fucking habit of giving this man so much oxygen. So I just want to talk about just a slight thing that I've noticed just in the last week where I'm like, oh, we're doing 2016 again, huh? We're like, we're going to fully regress and not learn a damn thing from that election. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we're going to talk about Candace Owens, who was profiled in Vanity Fair. And obviously, we know that Candace Owens is a disgrace to the culture. I mean, to credit her, she's like, I want nothing to do with the culture. But anyway, we'll talk about this Vanity
Fair
profile.
Her hair says that. I'm just saying. Her hair says that she wants nothing to do with the culture. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Ashy ass neck say that too.
So we're going to talk about this Vanity Fair profile because there's some interesting stuff I didn't learn. But even more importantly, there's just some interesting stuff in there that I had not realized that we'll talk about because it is a pretty decent profile to read.
Like she was born to white parents?
No, you know, she's rough and tumble.
It's just a tan.
No, she kind of has that like Clarence Thomas like path. Where like,
of course,
like shit's bad for you as a black person, but then you somehow are like, nah, like there is no, and you know what? I'm going to cape for them now. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting read, but you know, we'll get to the more gossipy parts, because that's the funnier part to me in that whole read, rather than getting down on, you know, this person being completely lost out there. And then in some entertainment news, I had no idea Diddy is paying Sting $5,000 a day right now.
I just saw that this morning.
Yeah. That's so wild. we're gonna talk about that, why that is. And if we have time, we may touch on, you know, Clarence Thomas and his sugar daddy. And maybe even we might even be able to touch on the potato lobby trying to change our holiday. Actually, we'll probably get to that because Easter is upon us very soon. But first, before we do all that, Dr. John Paul Higgins, what is something from your search history that is revealing about what you're interested in, what you're looking at?
Yeah. So last night I was on a phone call with some friends and I was telling them, we were talking about flying. My partner absolutely hates flying. I fly a lot, like for a lot of the work that I do, a lot of places was like, hey, come on out. And so we were talking about being fat on the plane. And I guess I have always heard people mention the Southwest policy that for like for fat people that you could basically ask for an extra seat, but I didn't know specifically how it works. And so last night, or actually the last few days, I've been like looking into how people of size, that's what they call them, people of size policies works. Uh-huh. And specifically with Southwest, they have a deal where if you buy two tickets up front, you can, when you get to wherever you're going or when you get back from your trip, you can request the second ticket as a refund. Or you can go earlier to a Southwest, like, so for instance, if you live in LA and you're like, oh, I'm flying out of LAX in 2 weeks, you can go to the Southwest desk. I don't know why. First off, going to LAX to do all of this is a lot. So
to not fly is weird.
To not fly that day is a lot. So but ultimately you can go early to the desk and say, hey, I'm flying in a couple of days, couple of weeks. Can I get a second seat assigned to me? And if they have the space, they will do it for you. Or you could go the day of and run the risk of probably not getting it. They say that they don't recommend it, you doing it the same day. But yeah, there's a whole policy that a lot of airlines have, specifically Southwest, around fat people who fly often. So
your options are, if you got it like that, you can buy two tickets.
Right.
And then refund the other one. And if you don't, you can just go a little bit ahead of time and just ask. You say, I'd like to get a second seat.
Yep. And they will put you in. Basically, they will assign two seats to you.
Right.
And then whatever two seats that you choose when you're on the plane, basically when you get on, you'll say, hey, I'm actually. Because I think they do like A17, A18. So you'll basically on your ticket have A17, A18 as a block out for you to make sure that no one can take the seat next to you.
Is that like the by far the most generous policy of the airlines?
From what I read, because like I said, I've been looking at it for the last few days. From what I've read, I think theirs is probably the most kindest. Delta also has a really good kind of policy. I haven't really read into Delta's too much, but I would say Southwest is probably the most affordable and the nicest policy out of all the policies.
And let's be real, you can fly to Burbank. You can fly to Burbank on Southwest.
Fly to Burbank.
The one true airport of this city.
Don't go to LAX. Go to Burbank. Go to the Burbank.
Fly to Burbank.
Wait, why couldn't you just go to Burbank?
You could. Okay. So you could go to Long Beach, too. Long Beach also is a very small. Long Beach, Ontario, Burbank, all of them. Okay. They're all small airports.
Part of me was like, why are you going to LAX? Please don't go there. Please don't go there.
Go to Burbank. Never fly to Burbank. It's the place it's at. I love this, man. I think we should have more. We should definitely have more policies for comfort on these planes, man.
Oh,
It's insane.
They're built to basically like want you to spend more money as it is. They're trying to make the experience as like uncomfortable as possible.
We should also have, I just don't like people. You know?
Because in Comfort Plus, if you do Comfort Plus at Delta, you still run the risk of having somebody awful sit next to you, which I have had several times happen to me.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna pay the extra $200 for Comfort Plus, and then you still get an asshole who sits next to you.
Right.
So
and elbowing the shit out of you.
Who want both of the seat things. It's like, dude, stop.
That's why I take the window and I'm just gonna keep my ass stuck to the wall.
I'm a lean.
Are you a window person?
Let me derail us for 1 second.
Okay.
This is about planes though. But I have a question. What's you guys' thoughts on reclining the seat back?
What do you mean? Yeah,
on
do
the
it.
Plane.
Do it. Do that shit.
I go back and forth with it. I do. I really struggle with it. In first class, yes, recline your seat all the way back. But when you're like Comfort Plus in Maine, it's really hard for the person sitting behind you to. So I tend not to recline my seat when I'm in Comfort Plus or Maine cabin.
I recline that motherfucker all the way back.
And that's fair. You pay for it. You know? Yeah.
Boy, let me tell you something. As soon as we hit 9,998 feet, my ass is leaning.
You like break your seat and shit.
And I'm the person behind you trying to do work on my computer with the tray all up in my titty meat. It's just so damn hard.
I feel so bad for your titty meat. I do. But my lower back. My lower back hurt worse than the thought of your titty meat.
Get somebody else to do it. I support it. You said get somebody else to do it. I live.
What's the worst thing you've done to try and get somebody to not sit next to you on a Southwest flight?
Open up a whole thing of fish. Like if you open up like a po' boy like shrimp of fish.
Have you done that?
I just came back from New Orleans.
Came armed with a po' boy.
Yes.
That's very funny.
But I imagine on that flight, like the passenger would be like, oh yeah, love
probably.
That. Where's that from? Yeah. The one time, like in Vegas, I would do the thing where I looked like I was so hungover, I was basically going to vomit on whoever sat next to me. Like I would be like, I would be like this with my eyes like half open and I'm like, ugh. Like
that's actually
stomach.
Really smart.
Yeah, and then people see you and they're like, fuck no. Mm-mm.
Can you please move me to a different seat?
I remember one time, like, and this works mostly for on white people, I should say. But on a plane, I just try to look as threatening as a black person as I can.
That's also really good.
Not gonna lie. I remember one time I was rapping for whatever reason. Like I just didn't want nobody to sit to me. I was mean mugging motherfuckers, and I was rapping what these bitches want from a nigga.
I'm afraid to sit next to that black man.
Listen.
Please reseat me.
Mm-hmm. The person who sat next to me was another black person. He was like, I don't give a fuck, nigga. I'm sitting here.
Right.
Yeah. I ain't scared of you. Yeah. But it worked for at least like 50% of like the people who walked past until somebody came.
Right.
Like, fuck it, dude.
I like how someone's like doing the ad libs to you. What these bitches? You're like, somebody let me know.
Sabrina.
Oh,
Ashley.
Yeah. Dawn, LaShawn, Inez, and Alicia, Teresa, Monica, Sherry, Nikki, Lisa, Veronica,
about
Carrie,
three Kims.
About three Kims. Yeah, woo, man. About three Kims is
rest
about
in peace,
that's what this rest that's what peace, this show is rated actually about three Kims. Yeah. Moving on, Dr. John Paul Higgins, what is something you think is overrated?
You know, so I tweeted this the other day and I said, actually, a lot of these ideas are things that I tweet. But I said, the people who keep screaming, let's get to the bread. Nigga, I want to be paleo. Like, I am done with getting to the bread. I don't want any bread. This constant having to work every day to survive in a capitalist state is ghetto. Like, I'm just really, really tired. Like, and I say tired in the sense, like, I know I'm blessed. Yes, money's coming in. I'm able to do what I want to do. I'm able to eat where I want to eat. I could put cheese on my burger. But some days you just wake up and you're like, God, I got to do this all over again. Mm-hmm. Like, it becomes a lot. So get into the bread culture, this whole notion of, like, we got to get to the bag. Everybody wants an LLC. And you know what? If I could take a quick minute, let's talk about this LLC culture. I just did my taxes.
My God. I'm still mad about my taxes last year.
Yeah.
I'm putting mine off.
Man.
My accountant, I hope my accountant is not listening to this, because if he is, I'm going to just say it. Bruh.
Yeah.
I see all your emails. I'm ignoring them motherfuckers.
I'm fortunate that I have the person who does my taxes, her brother is an accountant. And so they see my accounts and stuff, but they were just like yesterday when I did my taxes, they said, hey, you know, we may want to move you over to what is it when you bump up from an LLC? That's the one above it.
S-Corp,
because they're saying that I'm bringing in too much money now and LLC is not serving me. But it's still very much like the idea of like having to keep an S-Corp, because now that means, you have to work harder to actually keep the money that you have coming in. So it's just
it makes me so mad.
Let me
tell you something. And again, I want to piggyback off of the blessings that you said as well. You know, I realize I'm blessed. I know I'm about to say this shit and motherfuckers gonna be like, you lucky as hell, bro. But like, let me just say, the first time you pay more in taxes than you've ever made in a year before, hurts your fucking soul.
It does.
It
does.
It hurts your soul. I want these motherfuckers to leave us thousandaires alone.
Yes.
All right. I don't give a fuck if I make $1,000 to $999. Leave me alone. My low money ain't doing nothing for you.
Right. And if you don't have kids, it's even worse. You have nothing. And it's like you have to have stuff to write off. So now I'm that person. Like I used to be that girl like, oh, I have the newest stuff because I like having the newest stuff. And people are like, now I'm like, I'm buying stuff so I can write that shit off. Like, do you really need a new iPad? No, but no. I'm going to buy a new one so I can write it off.
But I need $800 off my taxes.
Yeah.
So here we go.
I'm at that place now. So.
The other thing I think is really like, you know, fucked up though about like get the bag culture is that it incentivizes people to be less humane because you see people do some wild shit, quote, in the name of the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, you actually alienate yourself, burn bridges and shit. And really, you end up with just maybe that one bag you were chasing because along the way there, you were too focused. So, yeah, we always talk about that. You know, how do I get Lambo culture?
Yeah, how do I get Lambo? I was going to say that.
We off that.
I was also going to add, too,
but also,
random
how do we
tangent.
Get Lambo?
How do we get Lambo? Yeah. Yes. But I was also going to say, overnight oats, they nasty. People talk about overnight oats, and I don't want nothing to do with
that. What is that shit?
People putting oats and water and stuff in the fridge with yogurt and all that. It's nasty. I don't know.
Drink it the next morning?
And they eat it.
I saw it at Trader Joe's, like in the refrigerated case, and I thought it was shit. I mean, not that like I thought they were selling shit, but I was like, what is, I was like, no, I don't know. I've been out of the game too long.
No, it's overrated. It's nasty.
Stick with McDonald's breakfast.
Mm-hmm,
and,
please.
And then,
yeah,
you know,
man,
fall
give me a
right
bacon,
after.
Egg, and cheese biscuit and a griddle and a hash brown.
I'm
Go
good.
Ahead and eat your oats. We all gonna die. thinking of this. I should have said this as a favorite tweet once, but one of the tweets that made me laugh so hard like 3 weeks ago was like, this is fucked up and it's so funny. But like, everybody out here always trying to commit suicide. Be patient. You gonna die? Made me laugh so hard.
No, it's not so
patient. Be patient, baby.
It was like, be patient. You gonna die?
So
you
sad.
Gonna die?
Cold.
Black Twitter, man. Black Twitter gets you every time.
finally, Dr. JP.
Yes.
What is something you think is underrated?
Yeah. So, minding your business. So, I tweeted this yesterday because as I was leaving my tax location. So, I will say, I really want our listeners to understand that before I make this statement, I want y'all to understand who I am and where I come from before I make this statement.
We came from the dirt.
In college, I used to drive a car that did not have AC or heat. And so it was a 1991 Mazda Protege. And so for so long, I had a very, very beat up car throughout college. Now, in my, you know, my doctor era and in my speaking era, my podcast era, I just recently bought my first luxury car. So I have a Lexus, and I was walking out to my car yesterday from the tax place, and this white man stopped me and said, "What are you doing?" Like he literally rolled his window down and said, "What are you doing?" as I was getting into my car. And I turned around without even thinking. And I said, "Minding my black ass business." And I got in the car and drove away. And so I think it's important for me to say what's underrated these days, especially when you don't know if people are caring, if you don't know what type of day people have had. You know, there's already so much going on in the world. Mind your business that is paying you, sir. Like, ain't nobody worried about you and your Nissan Pathfinder. Drive on. Like, that literally is what bothers me. So that's my underrated thing. Minding the business that pays you.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's underrated in a long time. Mind your fucking business.
You'll actually, you'll live longer by doing it.
Don't you?
You know, I mean, look, in the sense that, A, you probably won't encounter somebody who is ready to give you smoke in the way you might not be ready for it, but also in the way that you are conserving your energy, your life force for shit that matters rather than being all up in people's shit.
Let me tell you, I can hear a sound outside. And my husband, he's white, and so he's real quick to jump up. "Well, what's going on out there?" And I'm like, "Babe, don't do that. Like, it has nothing to do with us." Like,
Is your husband white?
He is.
Is your husband white or black? Okay. See, that's
white?
I was driving like somewhere a couple days ago, and there was this dog on the street. Clearly a dog that was lost. And I was with a friend. And she was like, oh, we got to. I was like, that ain't none of my damn business, man. That dog ain't none of my business.
Yep.
That shit, that's going to add time to my day. I hope that dog is taken care of. Somebody will happily take care of that dog.
Yeah. Something similar happened in my neighborhood, too. And I was driving, and this dog was like smart enough to not be in the road, but look lost on the sidewalk. And Her Majesty was like, oh, pull over. I said, no, somebody in a fleece vest is going to find this dog and look at the tag and do the work for us. Trust me. We have to keep going. We are late for this appointment to get this birth certificate.
Oh, God. Anyway. You said a fleece vest. What is it? What is that brand? It's not Patagonia? North Pole. What is it?
Patagonia, probably.
Maybe one of
or
them.
Or Eddie Bauer, maybe.
Authority.
You know?
Yeah. Some one of
somebody,
them.
L.L. Bean.
Somebody going to come get this dog. It ain't got to be me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I know for me, I'm like, no, not right now.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
ain't
take
my
a
business.
We're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back to talk about the news, which unfortunately doesn't have to do with stray dogs, but just a very thirsty media right after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And I just wanted to touch, because this week, you know, Donald Trump turned himself in on Tuesday, or, you know, had his arraignment on Tuesday. It was the best things were seeing the picture of him in the courtroom where he looked like completely out of place, like in the sense that he could tell he's like, I have never had to be told what to do like this before. And it was like uncomfortable. That was fine. Mm-hmm. We already knew what the deal was with this trial because we've been talking about it for, I feel like, years now. But, you know, the whole overall vibe over here regarding the Trump indictment has basically been, wake me up when there's some kind of guilty verdict or tangible consequences. Right. Other than that, do not waste my time or start writing stories where, like, the headline seems like you're giving me some new information and you're just regurgitating things we already know. So I think that there's just like a tremendous disconnect right now between like what people are actually giving a fuck about and what the media is trying to put on, you know, everybody's plate right now, which is, you know, this pretty normal in general. But for example, right on Twitter, people barely made a fuss about this arraignment. or the press conference he did after, even though like potentially there could have been news. I didn't even watch the press conference because I figured it's going to be some version of saying some racist shit and then being anti-Semitic by throwing in some George Soros reference or some shit like that. The lack of buzz on the Bird app is definitely a combination of Elon's fuckery and like just the destruction of the curation team that was there, that was curating news on there, that like allowed it to be a place where people were sharing information. Plus you had a lot of people like leave the site because of all the fucking racism that goes unchecked. And not to mention now blue check marks are like now meaningless. So who the fuck knows who is an actual journalist and who's just like a bored wannabe. So analysts were looking at the tweets during this, his court appearance, and it was barely a trickle. Right. And what they're saying is compare that to when Trump got COVID in 2020. The whole fucking site turned into people doing Ghanaian pallbearer memes and all kinds of fucking weird shit. Like there was so much energy. I feel like everybody who was on Twitter definitely remembers when Trump got COVID because
we wanted that nigga to die.
So now nobody gives a fuck about this. It's like, yeah, whatever. Because at this point, I think there's just no appetite for him because he's not the president and now he's a citizen. You know, if anything, we're just only interested, at least I'll speak personally, and I think most people who are like-minded, only interested in if there's the remote possibility of some kind of punishment. That's the only reason at this point we check in, because like, is he going to finally know? Okay, then wake me up when it happens. So despite all that, the media cannot kick their addiction to Trump. Like ever since he said he might get arrested, all the focus has been on what might happen, what the charges might be, what could this possibly be about, even though we know what the grand jury was impaneled for. And like we heard about the people that were testifying. We're like, yeah, it's going to be the Stormy Daniels cover up. We know that. But again, they found a way to stretch all of this out. And CNN and MSNBC, they figured they could just say the same few sentences over and over for a few days and make it look like coverage. And like this is in the midst of our gun violence epidemic, inflation, stagnant wages, you know, shit people actually care about that need to be informed on. And CNN, they spent a good long time just talking about all the doors in the courthouse. They're like, there's a lot of doors, you know, we don't know which door he might come through. And they're like, yeah, it's really interesting to think because there is a side. I've been to this building before. There's a side. And you're like, what the fuck are y'all talking about?
They have nothing else to talk about. I mean, look. If we live in an era right now where it's a known fact that news is sensationalized, right? News, for the most part, has become entertainment. Now, with that being said, if that's the way news is going to go, if it's about entertainment, then if you want to keep people's interest, you got to give us something besides the same fucking episode every goddamn day. Right? That's just, if this is where news is,
we want a new entertainment.
We want something new, right? Like, or we need a new story. We need another OJ. We need something. We need we need somebody chasing a Bronco or something. Like something, because like otherwise you are going to get people are tired, which is a good thing. However, the bad part of that is, like you said before, we haven't learned our lesson from 2016. A lot of people aren't paying attention, right? They just tune everything out because like nothing is important anymore because it's the same shit. But it, you know, and so it's just a snake eating its own head, right? It's an endless fucking cycle.
Its own head, exactly.
That, unfortunately, you know, is the time we live in, but I'm going to say something controversial. I hope this motherfucker get the Republican nomination. This is a guaranteed loss.
Well, here's the problem, though, right? When you look at, so one of our past guests, Ayman Ismail, he went to the courthouse on Tuesday because he does a lot of like coverage of like and all things MAGA. Like he was there on January 6th. Wow. So he went to the courtroom and he was saying,
as a media personality as a participant?
He's a journalist. No, he's a journalist.
Not a participant. Okay.
No, he's a journalist. No, this motherfucker is a legit journalist.
You said, let's be clear.
Okay.
Let's
be clear. Past guest, QAnon Viking, you know, he came through.
Yeah, you said, let's be clear.
Yeah. So, you know, he went and he was basically saying that there were more members of the media there than there were protesters. Yeah, and anytime someone in a MAGA hat walked by the reporters, they would swarm and try and get a quote. And, you know, when there are more people present from the media than actual protesters, It shows who cares more. And at that point, the story is not about a clash between protesters. It should be right. about the media, who is like, damn, it's just all us, huh? That's kind of, I mean, normally we would be outnumbered by the magnitude of the event because we think there's all this hubbub going to happen. Obviously, they want to cover the stuff that's happening in the courthouse as well. But it's just, you know, it's like, you have they not learned anything from 2016? Like, in the post-mortem of that election, everyone was like, yeah, man, we gave that dude way too much oxygen. And basically, like $3 billion in free advertising because he was getting name checked every 5 seconds. And they're making the same mistake. And to your point, too, Jackie's like, you know, it's because, you know, the corporate media, mainstream media is there to uphold the status quo. You know, raising the specter of Trump is the easy way out for them and gives them an excuse from having to discuss the truly pressing issues in our country, like white supremacy, homophobia, gun control, police violence, student loan debt, medical costs, affordable housing, unhoused people. I can keep going, right?
The climate.
But you want to spend fucking 18 hours just being like, the doors. And, you know, it's doing people who actually go there for the news a tremendous disservice, although, you know, I'd hope people will diversify their news diets. But at the same time, like, with to your point about 2024, you can only imagine a thing where they're like, oh, we got him this time. Put all this focus on him. And then suddenly we're talking about this dude way too much when he should just be an afterthought. And it should just be, we don't need to debate if this is a just arrest or not. He broke the law. And if we're keeping it a buck with the legal system here, he has to, you know, stand to account for it.
Right.
Like, but they wouldn't do this.
If I can add, I'll say, I think the thing for me that I've been paying attention to when you talk about media not paying attention is if we can keep, it's kind of this notion of like, if we can keep the wheel spinning enough around this individual, we really genuinely don't have to hold him or anyone who's doing these crimes accountable. And I think that's been the biggest thing that I've been paying a lot of attention to, of even how media covers all of this. It's like, we're not going to talk about the thing that he did that was unjust. We're just going to talk about the fact that he's in jail, where he's going, what he looks like, how he feels. It seems like, I don't know if any of you watch Drag Race, but there, one of the queens, her tagline was, look over there. That's what it feels like. It feels like a lot of like, look over there. Like, don't pay attention to what's actually truly happening in this situation, or even in our in our world or in our country. Just keep focusing over there on the media that's talking about what door he's coming through.
What door is he coming through? Not.
And the unfortunate thing, too, is, you know, you brought up the fact that, you know, Twitter isn't blowing up for this anymore. Right, Miles? And I think, like, sometimes we forget, at least I do, I can only speak for myself, but I would think some people would agree with this, that we are very much a part of what I like to call, like, the coastal elite. Like, we are very much the bubble, like, of the people who don't really represent, like, the middle of the country quite often, right? So we, and the people who think like us, or the people who have the same, like, viewpoints, or just in the same generation as us, are probably not online but there's a lot of motherfuckers in the middle of the country who are. And there's a lot of people in the middle of the country who are watching the CNNs and the MSNBCs and the Fox Newses and all these. And this is where they get their shit from. And unfortunately, with the media just giving him free press, those are the people that they are reaching. Right. And when you when you get bombarded with the same shit, like, are we treating him unfair, right? Even, like, because that's all they hear, right? And they go on Twitter. Like, if you go on Twitter right now, you can still find a bunch of Trump shit, but it's not the same people
at the forefront
we're talking about.
Yeah, and what I mean to say is, like, not that the interest is different, that the energy that he takes, right, like, to your point, that he occupied such a space in the consciousness that the idea of him even being sick was enough for people to go, it's going up.
But right now,
I'm saying what I mean to really say, like, I'm not trying to say that this is like a middle America versus the cities type of thing, but that essentially, like, they're doing just generally people a disservice when it's clear that the narrative, like, that as it should be, is this guy's a citizen. He broke the law. It is what it is. We don't need to cover it like he's the president right now and be like, where's his jet at? Oh, it's a helicopter. It just landed at Trump Tower. That play-by-play is just, again, it's doing everybody a disservice. And I really, bothers me because, I'm saying, like, at a time when you have people, like, they're passing bills or they're saying, we're going to check inside little kids' underwear to look at their genitals before they compete in sports. We're not talking like that. What the fuck? Like, that's the shit that is really going to affect people, not where the fuck did his helicopter land? And while all that happens, you know, they've continued to obscure, like, the actual issues that are happening. So anyway, let's move on, though, because I want to talk about this Vanity Fair piece about Candace Owens. Mm. Now, I'm glad this show is very black today, because this disgrace of a human who deploys her identity as a black woman in service of fascism and white supremacy is in Vanity Fair. And unlike the 60 Minutes piece on Marjorie Taylor Greene, this profile reads a little bit more like, here's all the fucked up shit this person's talking about. Like, it's pretty just laying out the facts of who this person is. Yeah. It's an interesting read. Like, I had no idea she was an intern at Vogue previously, and that she was like a powerhouse intern there, that when they like asked for a comment for people that worked with her at Vogue, they were all like, oh, she was very impressive. Like, her ability to like work was very like, she's detail focused, blah, 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 blah. Apparently she left an impression on a lot of people, and they felt like she wasn't a fit for Vogue, and just kind of seemed like someone who was like just backed themselves all the time to, you know, sort of get where they were going to go. Then, you know, you read also about this other stuff, how she has come into contact with, or, you know, she's basically been on the receiving end of a lot of racial abuse, like a wild ass voicemail was left to her by the son of the mayor of the town she lived in. It became like this whole controversy when she was a teenager and all this other stuff. And then her slow pivot to the right side of things. And just so people remember, these are the kinds of things when she talks about, like, you know, because she is one of these people who uses her blackness to tear down like any kind of progress or black or the idea of black liberation. She says stuff like this, quote, I have to keep reminding you that I don't want to be part of this culture. I want to destroy it. I want to destroy it further than it's already destroyed itself. I want to go backward. Your idea of progressivism is clearly regressive. This is a new plantation. This was when she was on that whole Democrats are always, you know, let's be real. I mean, they are taking advantage of the black vote. 100%. Right. But the idea that this is somehow that the things that black people are trying to achieve, that is something that needs to be destroyed. I think we can all realize how fucking absurd that is. So the other thing we learned is she's like chauffeured daily to the Daily Wire studios with a bodyguard and has like her assistant. And she was like very self-conscious, like about how this profile was being written, because she would always tell the writer, Emily Jane Fox, to put certain quotes in, like how she's like a trad wife. She was asking the writer, like, do you know what a trad wife is? And, you know, for people who don't know, it's like traditional wife, about these, like, you know, women falling into traditional roles, like, and doing everything for the men because that's a better lane for women to be in. And it's, you know, online, it's become a whole thing. And so this is the quote from the piece about her being a trad wife, quote, God, how unhip am I? Yeah, I'm a trad wife. Put that in there, she instructs me, and tell them I came up with it. I'm really traditional. I believe the men lead. So she's always saying, put that in there. Yeah, and tell them this part. And I like that the writer is like actually putting all these things there. Like, hey, tell them I said that also. And then she also was like, I really want people to know that I'm kind. Can you put that in there too? This is another quote from the article. It says, quote, that's the one thing she thinks people most often misunderstand about her. She said, quote, I take my work very seriously and I'm very kind to people. And I wish that if I could wish something into the narrative, it would be that people knew how kind I was. Put that in there.
Sure.
That the media has been really successful at hardening me. Put that in there.
We believe you, sis.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure Hitler gave somebody a hug once too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and every terrible person could be kind. Here's the thing with Candace Owens. Outside of her just being a coon, but like it's sad, man. It's sad.
She's
because it's cool. Yeah,
iconic.
it's very funny. But it's so sad because like maybe she does realize it, but like
she knows.
The sad part of this is this is a product of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Candace Owens. How we get a Candace Owens is from the deepest parts of white supremacy and racism.
But right? can I interject? I'm not trying to cut you off, but I also say something tells me and I'm making an assumption here, but something tells me when I meet people like her who seems to always have something really terrible to say about Black people or about Black culture, I believe that somewhere in her life, she had issues with other Black women or Black people.
Yeah.
And now that she's in a position of, quote unquote, and I'm putting quotations around power because what does that mean for her, right?
Yeah.
She is now, that vitriol that she carries in her,
100%.
It's just a reflection of something that she has yet to get therapy around. That's what I see every time I see her.
100%. Because it is, because she's latched on to the easiest thing to latch on to with hating Black people, which is based in being racist and supremacy and whiteness. Because, like, let's be real, we all, if I became Candace Owens because of all the people that used to roast me when I was a kid, they was all Black.
Baby,
I went to all Black school. Yeah.
As a queer Black person, let me,
you got roasted,
don't even
bro.
Get me started.
You got roasted, Jonathan. You got roasted. We got roasted. Yeah. We got, like, of
course.
I was
fucking Jackie Chan for fucking 18 years. To Black people.
Shit.
Not like, Jackie Chan.
And you want to know the funny thing? A white kid who went to school with a bunch of white kids also was roasted by all his white friends. Like, you are roasted by the people you grew up around.
Yeah, it just happens.
Like, fucking happens, right?
I say that, like, she reminds me of Clarence Thomas because, hey, check out the Behind the Bastards episode on Clarence Thomas that I did with Robert. It's fantastic. I learned so much. But it's interesting, too, how he, you know, he grew up in a place where a lot of Black people were giving him flack for whatever. And he always felt that he just didn't belong because he was an outsider. And that slowly turned, that slowly disconnected him from his community and from his own Blackness, that it just
made him an Uncle Ruckus.
One day it just a switch was hit. And in this piece, she talks about something similar because when she was younger, she did really well in school. And she resented the fact that, like, Black kids were calling her white because she was doing well in school. And she was saying, and she was phrasing it in a way where she's like, why can't I just do well in school and not have to be teased or say I'm not being Black enough or whatever? And I get that.
And that's true.
That's a very real thing. Yeah. So,
you know how many times I've been called Wayne Brady? or Carlton?
Right, sure.
Growing up, shit.
Yeah,
that happened all the time.
But it's one of these things where for her, then I think she just found comfort in realizing that when she used her mouth in service of these terrible white supremacist takes and regressive takes, she suddenly got a lot more. She probably found community a lot quicker doing that because people were very cynical and were like, yes, we can use this. We can use this in service of our end game. And, you know, now she's doing her shit on the Daily Wire. I will add this, though. Because I love this. Because even though you might have a little bit of money and you think you're popping in Nashville, Tennessee, there are still people who absolutely won't fuck with you because they know who you are. So one of the unsung heroes of this piece is an interior designer named David Netto. Owens and her husband, who is the CEO of Parler, mind you, the fucking fash Twitter, saw some of his work at a friend's house. So her husband reached out to potentially have David Netto work with them. And this is the response that David Netto sent to her husband. Quote, "Dear George, thank you for your inquiry. I'd rather get beaten the ass with a wooden plank than ever go near either of you. Kind regards, David." So Owens then goes on to say, "If a white conservative male had written that email to an outspoken Black liberal, he would have lost everything. They would have said it was like Jim Crow." Then Netto said, when they said, "Do you have anything to say about her comment?" He said, because he was like, "I'm talking to her husband who's white. I'm also a white guy." He said, "This has nothing to do with race. It's a terrorism/amorality thing." And he said, "After January 6th, the joke's over. People like this should expect to be recognized as complicit with something very dangerous. And I don't mean Kanye. And expect to be told off in polite society." So, had the smoke for them and their terribly designed home. So,
can I add? So I saw this on Twitter last night and she had tweeted, "I hate when people meet hate with hate like that. That's never going to solve anything." And I retweeted and I said, "Girl, you know why people hate you. Let's not play this game here.
You're smart enough. You
understand completely why everybody and their mama hate you." Mm-hmm. So she's good at gaslighting.
Yeah, she 100%. Also, so good at meet it. Hate with hate.
Yeah,
then
so
take
you recognize
your hate out of the equation.
Yeah.
Right.
Also,
what do you want
it's funny
me to
like
hate with
Oh, so you admit it. You represent hate.
You admitting it.
So you admit it.
You admit it.
Okay.
Oh, okay, you admitting it.
She admitted.
Yeah.
But that's
look,
why.
I know I'm hateful, but that does not mean that I should be greeted with hate towards me.
It's so wild. It's the mental gymnastics you have to go through. And at the end of the piece, they kind of mention like people who are this charismatic tend to fall into this thing where they back themselves so hard. They don't even know what they're saying, but they know that it's working and it doesn't matter to them at that point because they see the results and then they're just so disconnected from what it means. And they're like, I don't know. I'm getting chauffeured everywhere. I'm getting flued out. I have Chanel bags. I have a home. I'm going to have all these kids, blah, blah, blah. And I think in that point, she's completely succumbed to that. Or I don't know. I don't even give a fuck, to be honest.
The same thing can be said about Christian Walker, too, right? Like, didn't we see the same thing happen to him when he was going up against and saying and doing a lot of the same stuff? The same people backed him and was giving him money, giving him opportunities. So to me, there's something to be said about Black people who basically sell their identity down the river in order for them to make a check, to make a buck.
I mean, there's another part of it too, right? Because racism is so fucking horrifying and violent, at a certain point, you may begin it becomes like a Stockholm syndrome type thing, where you're like, you know what? If I put this cap on, they don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
And that's somehow easier for me to reckon with. Mm. All that to say, Candace Owens, your house still looks like shit.
It probably looks like shit. It boils down to one simple thing for me. Whenever I see a Black person or a person of color who aligns themselves with a group or a culture that is in opposition of their own identity and culture, it boils down to one thing. It's self-hate.
Yep.
Like, it's self-hate. Yeah. You know,
it's internalized.
That's literally all it is.
Look, and even her tongue.
and
even with her saying like, or you said like, she's mentioned how people used to make fun of her, and then you learn to like hate yourself and hate and what's the first thing that is visible to most people?
Yeah, your outward appearance
with yourself is your race, your identity, your culture, right? And so, like, you learn to hate that, and it's all self-hate, which is, nothing can do about that, which is why one of my favorite characters of all time is Sam Jackson's character in fucking Django, because it is the true epitome of funny character, and it is so, that is exactly how, like, some of these Black people would be looking.
Leonardo so tightly. They tried to shoot him, I was done.
Django, we gonna get you, nigga! You uppity nigga!
I am down because I've not seen that movie in so long, but that scene lives in my head rent-free. We gonna get you, you uppity nigga! Uppity nigga! We're probably gonna get canceled for saying the N-word so much. I'm sorry, y'all, but it's funny.
Who gonna check us?
Yeah, who gonna check me, boo?
Come on.
But niggas, when Black people call other Black people, I know I'm totally taking this off the rails. It's so for you uppity nigga.
It's so funny.
And it's like with the energy of that Sam Jackson intensity that just gives it such a different quality too.
With that eye. Shit. He had that big eye and then his little white beard in that suit.
Man.
He was so pressed.
Just truly one of the greatest characters.
Just before we take a break, I just want to touch on this Sting P. Diddy thing. So this was going around on Twitter, and I had no idea about this. For millennials that were into hip hop, the death of Tupac and Biggie were earth shattering moments. Okay. And in the case of Biggie, it was also the moment that made Diddy a certified star. He went from background dancer / producer / ad libber / banger of empty bottles. Take that. We all know that. To basically the face of New York hip hop in the bling bling era. And it was like a meteoric rise for him. And in the wake of Biggie's death, there were many tributes, but the 1997 hit, I'll Be Missing You, with Faith Evans and 112, is the most memorable, okay? And it contains a sample of Sting's Every Breath You Take, which probably made it very easy for people to bop to, because, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah, I already know this song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Plus, now we got, you know, Diddy and Faith Evans and 112. We love it. I mean, the sample is pretty much the whole engine of the song. Right. And sampling in hip hop has been a pretty contentious issue, because a lot of producers used to not clear samples before, you know, putting an album out, and it would cause issues. And a lot of people were like, oh, my God, you made all this money off of my like obscure like soul album or whatever. And it, you know, became a bit of a problem. And this is one of those cases. So I guess a few years ago, Sting went on The Breakfast Club and said that because Diddy never got permission to use that sample, he is now being paid around $2,000 a day by Diddy.
Oh, I read it was $5,000 a day.
And then, yes, then Diddy quote tweeted and said, correction, it's more like $5,000 per day. If you do the math on $5,000 per day from when that single came out, we're looking at being north of like $48 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
And wild. I can't believe that. But here's Sting's catalog of music, of the songs he's written and stuff, is very valuable. He recently sold, like, I think a bulk of his publishing rights to Universal for around an estimated $350 million. So those checks might actually be going to Universal now, but I'm still, like, gobsmacked. And there was also that Juice WRLD track that sampled Shape of My Heart. And he also, he sees, like, 80% of those royalties. And the producer was like, that's not fair. And it's like, it was an interpolation. You're like, it's okay. Either way, what song you are, what you are going, you know, trying to replicate or use in it.
Yeah. That's a $155,000 bill every month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Going to Sting.
For a song that now we hear maybe what, two times a year?
Yeah. At this point, yeah.
I don't hear that.
At the time, it was at the top of the charts for like 11 weeks.
Yeah, at the time, it was.
Yeah.
That should be on the sliding scale. When it's at its most popular, $5,000.
Right. Now,
$250, bro.
Not even. How about like $6? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Tell me when it's like residuals, man.
And a gift card to McDonald's.
How about this thing? If you hear it on the radio playing, call me and I'll send you $5,000.
Right.
If not, don't call me. Don't call me. And another thing that's kind of
interesting. Sting will be on the radio every day, turning the dial.
Yeah.
Like, be on series.
Oh, no, shit, that's mine.
Dad, what are you doing?
No, shit, that's mine, too.
But I think it should be noted, you know, a lot of artists that have worked with him at Bad Boy in the past, they say, you know, he's janky.
I believe it.
You know, Diddy, you know, they say, oh, yeah, we'll get this. And then he owned everything. So in a way, a lot of people are like, maybe are you using who's really paying for this?
Who's zooming who? Yeah.
Is it other artists' royalties? Anyway, just something to consider. But
also, you're saying he cheat.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude made, remember making the band when he made them walk to Brooklyn to go get them some cheesecake?
To Junior's Cheesecake? Yeah, to get Junior's. Yeah.
When he had them in singing, like they were singing and fighting and battling with each other with vocals, I knew something was up. I said, this man is weird.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about new Easter traditions right after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And y'all, did anybody have Easter plans? Anybody?
No. No.
I truly didn't know it was Easter, bro.
I didn't realize until
just
know
Target's going to be closed. FYI, y'all. Yeah.
Target closes on Easter.
Target is closed on Easter. It is. I learned that the hard way. No, honey. I've known that since like 2015. Quick story. I think I needed like hair products or something. And it was like Easter and I was going somewhere or maybe going to an event. And I said, I'll just stop at Target to get it. And it was closed. Right. So yes, Target is closed on Easter.
Wow.
For what? For what?
Because they respect, hey, he is risen. You know what I mean?
Now look, if I was working at Target, I'd be like, hell yeah, we close at Easter. But as a consumer?
As a consumer, you better be open 24 fucking 7. I don't give a shit.
24/7. 24/7.
Earlier this year, right? The egg prices were fucking ridiculous. Like, you couldn't believe, like, you know, a dozen would be going for like $9 or something, fucking over $10 some places.
We had to save all our money for Beyonce tickets, man. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's true. Are you going? Are y'all going?
I'm going twice, yes.
You're going to the birthday show?
I'm going to the birthday show.
I'm going to the Houston show, and I'm going to Vegas show.
That's going to be tight. Those two are going to be tight.
See, the Houston show and her birthday show, I feel like, are going to be fucking... Yeah. Epic, you know.
Mm-hmm. The one I wanted to go to besides the birthday show was the one in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Because you know that energy is going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
But Super producer Houston Becca show is going to be tight.
Super producer Becca Ramos in the chat. Jonathan, we got to link up because I think, you know.
H-Town. Yeah. I am
all right,
really
link
excited.
Link up, you know. It's going down.
H-Town.
I remember I even had like a red and black flannel tied around my waist and I was trying to get my hips going and shit in the mirror, like the video.
Flawless, honey.
Flawless. Woo! Right around that. Yes. That's my favorite. Right around that. Flawless. Anyway, back to the other savior, not Beyonce, Jesus Christ, obviously. Anyway, so because of the egg prices were so high, people were like making jokes on the internet about being like, man, with the egg prices this year, y'all gonna be making, I'm gonna have a fucking Easter potato. I might as well be painting because I'm not gonna waste my money on an egg. And the fucking like potato lobby, like their industry group, apparently just thought, they're like, oh shit, that's a campaign right there. And Potatoes USA, which is the name of like big, I guess the real name of Big Potato, they're now like actively trying to promote this. Like there have been all kinds of little ads being like, yeah, this is fantastic. Their argument is that, hey, potatoes aren't as fragile, you know, as eggs, you know, and also like potatoes are way easier for kids to hold than eggs. So, you know, there's that, which I get that. Sure, maybe. But yeah, like egg prices have already come down in price somewhat since those memes hit. And now people are like, okay, I think you missed this. But what's funny is over at Fox, when they saw this, they took this as like an opportunity to make it about how Joe Biden is trying to destroy Easter. All because the potato, people were like, hey, why don't you try a fucking Easter potato? The lower third, like on Jesse Waters' show, said, say hello to your new Easter bunny. And it's like a picture of like a potato with like a top hat on and a cane, like the Monopoly man. And then Jesse Waters talking to fucking culture critic Adam Carolla. And on the lower third, it says, or the Chiron, when they're talking, it says, Dems want you to paint potatoes. Calm the fuck on. I'll always, like, an egg. I've actually never painted a real egg.
You never dyed an egg?
I think I did it once. Egg? And oh, you know, I just had a, I just remember when it happened. I was like 6 years old. And my grandma and grandpa, they were like, you know, they're Christian. They wanted to, you know, really make sure we were getting all turned up for Easter and got those like old dye kits, you know, where you dunk the egg. I remember I spilled all that dye on my grandmother's tablecloth or something. She was like,
never again.
She's like, she was a very neat woman. Let me tell you, she was,
Jesus could have stayed dead for this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, real talk. I mean, like she had those parts of the house where I was like, you ain't sitting in there. I'm like, I know that. I never thought so. And then after that, I remember we wasn't painting eggs there anymore. And she got the plastic ones. She got plastic ones. She's like, why don't y'all put the stickers on these plastic ones this year? So I
not
had
the
it
plastic
once.
Egg.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Damn,
you can't even get a real yolk no more because you spilled?
Yeah. No.
I stopped doing it because I grew up with Jehovah's Witnesses, so we weren't allowed to paint them. But the first year that I did get to paint them, I ate too many of them and got sick. Because
that's very funny.
I was like literally like 9 or 10. I was like, yes, we get to do it. Same thing with Halloween.
Damn, these eggs are delicious.
I swear Easter eggs taste different with that dye. They do.
That dye seep in just a little bit through.
Yes.
And permeates the actual egg. Yeah.
So good.
You eating food coloring. I used to love Easter shit. I grew up in a very Christian household as well. So Easter was, you know, basically a second Christmas as far as importance goes. Mm-hmm. And we used to dye the eggs, get the Easter baskets, do the Easter hunts, go to church for 72 hours. Like, we did all of it, man. We did all of it.
Did you? How great. Old are you? Fun. Like, how old are you within the, like, your generation of kids in your family? Like, the oldest? Are you a younger one?
Me? I'm Neo. Well, I grew up an only child until I got stepbrothers when I was like 14.
Sure.
So, but I grew up in a house full of people. So
yeah, like with your cousins and stuff.
Yeah. So with like all in, so it was like a bunch of cousins. And so within that hierarchy, I was probably like the second tier as far as age goes for all the people who were always around each other that weren't parents.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I was like the second tier of folks.
I was the oldest in my family, and the way when my grandparents would let us loose in the backyard to start looking for eggs, and I was snatching them the fuck up. Like my younger cousins who were like barely walking and shit. I'm like, get the fuck out of my way. I'm getting these eggs.
Pushing
and I remember they were like, you need to stop. And I fucking got so mad because I was a kid and I couldn't fucking process why. I'm like, but I can go faster than them. And that's why I should be a merit-based egg search. And if you want, you should do a second-tier egg search for the scrubs over here who have limited motor skills due to their young age. Anyway, rest in peace to my grandparents.
Babies.
Yeah.
Also, listen, painting a potato. That should seem kind of fun. I wouldn't want to eat that motherfucker after, but like, but there's a lot you can do with it. You can paint it.
It would
you
just look so fucked up. Like a designer potato. Yeah.
A designer potato.
I would have so much fun with that. Oh, that's so much fun with that.
It's not a perfect egg shape. Anyway, it is what it is. Hey, you know, celebrate however you have to. Go bang on the door as a Target and demand they let you in if you want. Or maybe go to church for 72 hours. Do whatever you want to do. Or, you know, just fucking vibe out and watch The Rock on the fucking TNT. Because it's probably going to be on.
Be knocked out.
Exactly.
What did Becca say? Becca said, one time in high school, I got in trouble. So my mom punished us by making my brother and I go to all the Easter services at our Catholic church by ourselves. Ooh. Just dropped us off for the day. She might as well just put y'all up for adoption.
She literally should have.
That's terrible, man. That's terrible.
Shit. All right. Well, Dr. John Paul Higgins, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you and support you, listen to you and all that?
Okay. Well, you can, you can find me down at the Starbucks. Because I have a whole bunch of scripts and pilots that I need to get edits done on. So I usually sit there and do that. But anyway, you can also find me online at Dr. John Paul on all the socials. Or you can visit me at my website at www.drjohnpaul.com.
Fantastic.
And over at the Black Fat Femme podcast as well. Absolutely. On the new Outspoken Network.
Is there a tweet or other work of social media that you've been enjoying?
Yes. So a couple of nights ago, I saw on the TikTok, someone said, if a person shenans once, they will shenan again. And so last night, I tweeted, but I'm checking for people who hooly because I know they will hool again too. So that is what I'm checking for. I'm loving everybody doing the shenanigan. Like, if they shenan once, they'll shenanigan. Yeah, they'll hooligan.
Jacques Neil. Thank you so much for joining us today. I always appreciate you, man. Where can people find you and follow you? And is there any work of social media that you'd like in?
Listen, you can always find me, as you know, in the streets and on Instagram at Jacques Neil. So yeah, check me out there. Also, couple promos, things I want to promote. I was promoting this yesterday. I'll promote it again. I'm going to be in New York City with Arden Marine doing Will You Accept This Rose. It's going to be a sexy time. I'm at least showing one nipple. I'm showing one nipple to the big guy. So come on out if you want to see these nips and just have a good time. It's going to be a fun show hanging out in New York. We're not going to sleep until 4, although I did that last night and I heavily regret it right now. But so yeah, do that. Comedian Field every month in Los Angeles, last Sunday of the month. It's always a good time. Sells out. It's a good time. Come out to that. Grand Crew, make sure y'all niggas watching it. Watch it.
Oh, love
watch
it.
Watch it. It's such a good show. I'm going to be, I think my episode is coming up in the next week or two, and then I'm going to be on for multiple episodes this season. So excited for that. Work of art, or work of social media, not a work of art. So, all right, I got a couple. This is from, also very funny that yesterday my tweet was from Dr. Jonathan here, and I didn't even realize that. So, listen, you know, the universe brings us together. It's a beautiful thing. There's this from Mickey Wan 234. You guys know that meme of the black lady with like the long fingernails, the pink lipstick, the long hair searching a computer. And so it's that meme. And the caption is me tracking my package, even though I just ordered it 5 minutes ago. And Lord, if I don't do that shit. Well, I hit that shit. Be like, the label created yet?
Yeah,
like, nah, man.
Yes.
The goddamn order hasn't even processed yet.
See me.
But yes, I definitely want that. And then Trump facing 34 felony counts that carry a 136-year max sentence. He pleads not guilty to all counts. David Da Vinci, I think, wrote 136 years. He fighting a RICO. The boy got RICO charges.
Wow.
Got
hit with the RICO
as well.
Oh,
love
man.
It.
Some tweets I'm liking. Ed Bermilla at Ed Bermilla tweeted, you were just talking about the Chicago mayoral race in the last episode. He tweeted, seven cops will quit in Chicago, all age 56 and with full pensions and jobs lined up in a suburb so they can double dip pensions when they're 70 and retiring to the villages. And in the next few months, the New York Times, The Atlantic, WAPO, etc. will interview each one of them 400 times, which feels about right. This cop left the Chicago force when Brandon Johnson was elected. Now he owns 900 Lambos in Florida because his pension is lit. Is usually the thrust of that. Any other ones I had? Oh, no, there's just a really interesting moment where Representative Justin Jones, who's a Tennessee state representative, you know, currently one of the Democrats that the GOP was, they're trying to expel some of these Democratic representatives, who I believe are, I think all of them are black. Correct me if I'm wrong, but for basically protesting the lack of gun legislation that is going through the state house at a time when they've just had a terrible shooting. And he just goes off on these people, just talking about, oh, you want to expel me? Let me talk about some people that have been in here. And I just want to play a little bit of this clip of, you know, Representative Justin Thomas's words. He's taking a dramatic sip of water right now.
Let's talk about expulsion. For years, one of your colleagues who was an admitted child molester sat in this chamber. No expulsion. One member sits in this chamber who was found guilty of domestic violence. No expulsion. We had a former speaker sit in this chamber who is now under federal investigation. No expulsion. We have a member still under federal investigation. No expulsion.
It goes on and on and on. And I think, you know, does a good job underscoring when the time comes to expel people for calling you out versus, you know, covering for the homies. We could do with a little bit less of that kind of coverage for each other, especially when we're trying to do shit like protect fucking kids and teachers and shit. They're just trying to work and go to school. as well as just, you know, numerous other people that, you know, died needlessly from gun violence. Anyway, check that out. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find us on our other podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, and also my other trash reality show, 420 Day Fiancé. Check that out on twitch.tv/420dayfiancé. We are coming back. Don't worry. We're just having to reset some things. We've got big life changes, but we'll tell you all about it in the next episode. Anyway, you can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page and website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Doubled it up. I love that. Where you will find our episodes, or I'm sorry, you can find all the articles that we talked about, as well as the song we write out on. And the song I want to go out on today is a remix by Sango of Kendrick Lamar. It's called, so you're gonna have to go on SoundCloud for this, but search Espirito Rico by Kendrick by Sango, S-A-N-G-O. It's a really dope remix. You're gonna like it. So put that in your ears going into the weekend. And oh, don't forget to watch the J Dilla documentary. It comes out today for all my, you know, my real hip-hop heads out there. It looks like it's gonna be fantastic. All right, that's gonna do it for us today. We'll be back later on to tell you what's trending. And until then, bye-bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.